Sharp Tongue Podcast is in your ear. It's Weeds Day. I recorded this episode on Mother's Day, so it's a very special episode featuring a very special mother and friend of mine. But before we get to telling y'all who it is, I want to say happy Weeds Day. I want to say I hope everybody had a great week. I am excited for my new Hilarious podcast, which this episode kind of celebrates because of what we talk about. The Hilarious podcast is up. Our fourth episode will be released today. And please rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. They don't even have to be huge cannabis connoisseurs to appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. I record it with my cannabis business partner, Travis Turner. It's available on iTunes and all the other places where you can get podcasts. I'll even send you the personal link myself if I have to. My voice sounds like this because I was out last night until about 1 a.m., which is way past my fucking bedtime. I had dinner with my friend Christopher McClure, which you guys have heard on this podcast. We talked a lot about his dead dad. And my entertainment lawyer, Jeff Cohen, formerly of Goonies fame. He is Chunk. That's my lawyer. Truffle Shuffle Realness. We went out to dinner last night and proceeded to go to a cigar bar. I mean, I don't know who the fuck I am. Oh, man. Boy, am I feeling it today. Yeah, marijuana is a lot different than cigar smoking, huh? I feel like I was in the green room for Goodfellas the musical. It was just a bunch of 50-year-old Italian men with pinky rings and 22-year-old wives. Felt I fit right in. I was looking for, you know, I was looking for somebody who wanted to podcast because everybody looked like they had a lot of secrets in their lives and maybe a couple dead bodies in the trunks. I'm going to be honest. But it was a lot of fucking fun. And you know what else is a lot of fucking fun? This podcast. So please, before I forget, Hilarious Podcast, we have a Patreon page. Patreon is a website that provides exclusive content for people who want to sign up to be members of our, you know, fun podcast. It's patreon.com/hilariouspodcast. And there are different tiers of donations that you guys can make to help keep the podcast going and just helping me make it dope every week. And you can choose from all different fun stuff. We get some merch to you guys, some VIP tickets. There's even a section where we can Skype and, you know, blaze together. That's a lot of fun. You know, I'm trying to make Hilarious like something different and fun for you guys. So that's patreon.com/hilariouspodcast. That's HIGHLARIOUS. I own the word. Don't try to use it. I bought it with my said lawyer. Yeah, if you try and use Hilarious, I will set Truffle Shuffle right on your ass. And homie, don't take no prisoners. Let me just tell you that. Sharp Tongue's Patreon page will be up soon. When we can get to that, it will be up soon so we can also provide some really fun exclusive content for you guys there. But until then, we're still going to be delivering dope podcasts. I think I'm bringing Sharp Tongue to all things comedy. I know I've been sort of in limbo with where these podcasts are going to live and who I'm partnering with, and it evolves as the days go on. But I was talking to the guys over at All Things Comedy, which is Al Madrigal and Bill Burr's company, podcast company. They have a lot of amazing podcasts on their network. And I think we're going to send Sharp Tongue over there. I think it's going to be a good home. Thanks to Sam Tripoli and the Tinfoil podcast for supporting me on that. Shout out to those guys. And so look forward for more updates on that. I'll know more this week and I'll let you guys know. I also am going to be performing. I am putting together a little summer tour. I'm going to be going all over the place, but in LA, I'll be at the Hollywood Improv on June 12th with Seven Deadly Sins again. We're turning that into a monthly show. I'm also going to be next Tuesday, the 22nd of May, I'm going to be at the Comedy Store, 8 p.m. show with Sam Tripoli. Bouncing back into June the 16th, I think I'm going to be at the Ice House. I'm going to do an hour. I'll be running my hour there. excuse me for that enormous sniff. The first week of August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I'm going to be at the House of Comedy in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to be hosting the Gentlemen's Expo in Vegas. Oh boy, August 17th. Everybody better tuck their balls in for that one. That's going to be interesting. I still have to Google and see exactly what is expected of me and what the fuck a Gentlemen's Expo is. It sounds like the anti-hashtag Me Too movement. And then the first week of September, actually the second week, the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, I'm going to be at the Comic Strip in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, at the West Edmonton Mall. September 22nd and 23rd, I'm going to be in D.C. And I'm playing, what am I playing in D.C.? The Comedy Loft. That's the 22nd and 23rd of September. There's going to be a lot more dates coming up. I'm adding Florida. I'm adding Vermont, Rhode Island, Boston's going to be in November at Laugh Boston. In the summer, I'm going to be hitting up upstate New York, Rochester, possibly Alexandria Bay. All those dates will be added soon. My website is jessiemay.com. For all things Jessie May, y'all, I appreciate your continued support as I travel through this career and embark on a lot of projects. Sometimes it's too much for me to handle. Other times I figure it the fuck out. And right now I'm in a figuring it the fuck out mode, so I feel good. I feel like I'm getting everything organized, even though my lungs feel like they want to explode. So on that note, I'm going to introduce our guest, a very special guest. Not so much a comedian, but she's very funny in her own right, and somebody who's become a very close friend of mine, and basically my LA family. We sat down on Mother's Day in my kitchen to discuss what it's like to be a mom, what it was like to tour the world and to travel around and to help people have an amazing trip, not just a trip to travel with, but also a trip on mushrooms. That's right. She helped people have a dope trip. She provided them with a very fun and just pleasurable experience for embarking on a mushroom trip, which I still have yet to do. So I'm going to have her do it with me the first time, so I don't have like a panic and think I'm being sucked into outer space, which I think is going to happen either way. So at least I'll have her on my side to pull me back down to earth. She's an amazing friend, an amazing mother, and also she's in the cannabis business. She's been in it for a long time, and she's such a positive influence and voice for the cannabis community, and I thought she'd be great to have on the Sharp Tongue podcast, and she'll be on the Hilarious podcast as well. Please enjoy my interview with my cannabis business partner's wife, Miss Alicia Wanderlust. Okay, we're here. I'm using your grinder.
It's a good one.
It is a really good one.
Yeah.
Cookies. We're doing a weed episode here on Sharp Tongue. We're not on Hilarious. You guys got to check it out. Sitting with me, speaking of Hilarious, is my Hilarious host's wife.
Fiance, actually.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But I just assume wife because you guys are just like, you're in it together. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you've been married for millennia.
We lived the married life. We did it kind of ass backwards. We dated for 3 months, had a kid, had another kid, got engaged, and are planning a wedding.
I think that's the way to fucking do it, though.
Yeah.
Or there's whatever way you want to do it.
Exactly. Everyone has their own way, and that's cool. But, you know, I wanted to make sure he was a good partner first, and that worked out.
Because otherwise it'd be so expensive to go backwards and try and redo getting married.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to make sure he was a good dad, so.
He's an amazing dad.
He's really next level father.
And speaking of amazing dad, you're an amazing mom. Aww. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
You want to tell everybody who you are?
Yeah, my name is.
We get an hour in.
Who's this bitch talking with her? My name's Alicia. My fiance is partners with Jessime in La Flora Organica, which is our dispensary that's going to be opening up here in SoCal really, really soon. I feel like that's every episode of every podcast. Really, really soon. Any moment, guys.
It's literally like, you know, I always joke about it because it's incremental progress.
Right.
And even just with, you know, doing this podcast here, you guys want to hear the grinder?
Like you're spinning a record. Wicky, wicky, wicky.
You know, I have like things that I want to do and I talk about like, yeah, you know, wanting to even just do Hilarious.
Mm.
That took almost 8 months to get it.
I remember when you first had the idea.
Just sitting and figuring it out and just getting being able to post it. Shit takes a long time.
Yeah.
And Travis and I, our motto is incremental progress.
Yeah, one step at a time. Just like, you just take it day by day and figure problems out. You know, Travis telling me, he was like, you know, some days I feel like a fireman. I'm like, really? That's interesting because... grow marijuana.
Yeah, and you're like, also perfect for my spank bank.
And he was like, no, he's like, no, seriously, I sometimes I feel like a fireman. He's like, every day I go into work and there's fires and I need to put them out. And I'm like, yeah,
that's
like,
it really is like
the
that
nature of the industry, really.
It really, and in like any aspect of life, I mean, I imagine like being a mom is like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially because how old are your kids now?
I have a 4-year-old daughter, or she's going to be 4 next week. And then I have a 19-month-old, so just over a year and a half old.
Little, that's a lot.
Little guy.
They're both very active.
Yeah, yeah. They're.
We can hear babies crying in the background.
It's like they know we're talking. Their gang is like coming for us. They're like, we hear you. I'll find you.
Do you like... So they're like 2.5 years apart?
Like 2 years, 4 months apart. Just under 2.5 years apart.
And like, were either of them planned? What is it? Like,
no.
That's no shame.
If you do the math on the relationship, absolutely not.
Literally after 3 months after dating Trav, you had
like
Fifi?
3 months after meeting him, I found out I was pregnant. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
that was like a really crazy time for sure.
Yeah. So at that point, 3 months, what was the first thought in your mind? Do you remember like when you found out that second, I'm assuming you took a pregnancy test and you found out?
Yeah.
It's not like there was like some shaman that showed up, although I wouldn't put it past you because you're pretty mystical.
I didn't have like one of those divine dreams of like my child speaking to me. Although, yeah, that would be amazing.
First thought, you're pregnant.
My first thought, I was like, you know, when you're not really planning on that.
This is a rolling paper, just giving them the full effect,
Just for all those guys who think like we're not actually smoking. Yeah,
and I'm practicing my joint rolling process here, so just bear with me. Okay,
no, it's beautiful.
Okay, good.
Make sure you don't have any of those sticks in there.
I got rid of those sticks. I love your Canadianness. You're the politest person. Make sure you don't have any sticks in there. Yeah, eh?
Yeah. I know you're doing a really good job. I would just be wary of those tiny little pokey things. No, you're doing great. If you want a filter too, I have some crutches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might have to put a filter on this sucker.
But yeah, my first thought when I found... you know, I feel like a lot of women, girls can relate that if you're not... You all have those moments of, you
like,
know...
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, oh, fuck moments. Exactly.
Oh, I mean, I have an oh, fuck moment every month. I'm not on birth control.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm like, well, this month is the month.
I'm not on birth control anymore either, but let me tell you, 2 kids will definitely help. There you go.
Thanks.
But yeah, my first thought was, oh fuck, like I have been with this dude for 3 months, and before Travis and I got together, I was kind of a traveling gypsy nomad wanderlust soul, and so my whole entire world was about to be flipped upside down, and I just wasn't sure if I was prepared for that or if that was even what I wanted in life. Like,
and you were traveling, like, well, when you found out you were pregnant, you were still, you know, in this wanderlust life.
I'd come to California to work in the cannabis industry to trim weed up in Northern California.
Is that even before you knew Travis?
I went the season before, and then I met Travis in between seasons. So I had just finished my first season up north, and with all the money I had made, I was traveling with a few of my girlfriends. We went to Central America. It was 2012. I don't know if you remember the year of the Mayan, you know, apocalypse happening, and everyone was saying like, oh, it's the end of the Mayan calendar.
That's
the
right.
world is going to end.
every year there's some, like every 2 years,
Y2K,
like, oh God. Yeah.
Mayan apocalypse. But it's a really great reason for a bunch of hippies to gather, like near the Mayan ruins and
oh
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's magical shit.
Travis and I both met there at this World Rainbow Gathering in 2012.
Is that where you met?
That's where we met. Well, we met at the airport in Mexico on the way to the same gathering.
That is so... So you were going to meet there regardless?
Yeah. I mean, maybe... There was hundreds of people there, but he Whoa. Was wearing... He was wearing... I mean, now we're going deep into, like, our story. But, like, he was wearing this T-shirt for a local community radio station from far in the mountains of Humboldt County. Shout out to K-Mud. But yeah. It's like a tiny little community radio station, and that's the only thing you get when you're up there in the hills working in the cannabis farms. There's like no electricity. Everything's run off a generator. And so he was wearing this K-Mud shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I was just up there. Like, how is that possible? And he's like, oh, I'm, you know, a sound engineer and I DJ for them sometimes. And I'm like, whoa, far out. Cool.
This is just in the airport.
Just in the airport. And then he was like, where are you going? And I'm like, the Rainbow Gathering. Where are you going? He's like, the Rainbow Gathering. I'm like, great.
Oh, my God.
Let's get a bus.
And did you feel the vibes?
Not at that time.
Whoa.
No.
Whoa, girl.
He did. You know, like,
yeah.
You can sense that from, like.
Listen, vibes can be there, and they're just not in the forefront of everything.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
You know, like, the fact that he felt them, you know, there's some vibe contact going on.
Right.
The universe is going to make
it. He was putting
it out
there. Yeah. I just wasn't necessarily picking it up. Right.
Right. Because
yeah.
You were probably also in this, like, a little bit more of a free bird mentality where any yeah. sort of thing that's tying you to anything, you're like, nah.
Yeah. And I'd just come off the hill from, like, working a ton, and I was in the zone of, like, wanting to flow and see Central America. I wasn't really looking for anything.
And was it 3 months from that day?
No.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
I was like, how do I not know this story? You guys are
no,
my... I know how you guys met, but, like, the time frame is my favorite part of this
yeah.
whole story.
No, I didn't see him after that first contact for, like, 6 to 8 months. I did my trip in Central America, and then I went back to Canada and did a yoga course. And then after my yoga course, I was like, oh, snap, I'm out of cash. I should probably go back. And I was so, like, oblivious to really the industry and seasons and everything. It was, like, May. And I'm like, oh, I should go back to California and, like, trim some more weed and make some money. But there's, like, no weed that's ready to be trimmed in May. It's all in the fall.
You got
to
know when the harvest season is.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, shit.
And so I landed at Trav's house. And because he was like, if you're ever back in the area, you're more than welcome to come and, you know, crash. And so
he's nice like that.
He is.
You guys are both like that with your friends.
Oh, yeah.
You're very courteous with your couch.
Man, you know.
That's rare in this city because, you know, you always, even with me, like, people be like, oh, I'm going to come to L.A., let me know, I'll crash on your couch. I'm like, no, you're not, motherfucker. You're not crashing on my couch.
Yeah.
I got 14 dogs. I don't need you judging.
You're going to have to fight for your spot.
Yeah, I don't need you judging my lifestyle choices.
No, I get it. You know, the older I am now, too, it's like sacred space is like your home and stuff. But our friends are like our family.
Yeah,
know?
And you've got like such eclectic friends.
Yeah.
And so 6 months later, what was the meeting? Do you remember like the first time you saw him after the 6 months?
Oh, God. No, well, I went to go visit a friend up on the mountain, and that friend was a little bit like excited to see me, keen on me. And I was like trying to like, create space between him and I.
Oh,
so
boy.
I was like, hey, Travis, can I come stay at your place? Because I'm like trying to get away from this this dude right now.
Oh, my God. You had to friend zone a dude.
Yeah, I had to friend zone a dude. And Travis was like, yeah, for sure. Like, do you want me to come up there and get you? Like, he was being super gentleman and like trying.
He is a gentleman.
He is.
He's a total gentleman.
Yeah. He's a really wonderful person.
Yeah.
Hence why I'm with him. But but yeah, so he said I could come and crash at his place, and then I like never moved out. I was like that girl, and then I got pregnant, and yeah.
Wow, so. It's so weird how like the universe sort of just lays shit in front of you.
It totally does.
It like sometimes literally there's a path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the fact that what if you did feel that guy's vibes,
right?
You know what I'm saying, like.
No, I love thinking about those like tiny, minute decisions that we make in life and how they can completely alter our entire course.
It's
you know?
A total pivot.
Yeah,
it'd be a total pivot for you.
I know.
And it's like
it's the smallest details.
It's the smallest fucking details.
I love it.
And it's like really when you look at that, when you think about that as a factor or staple of life, the fact that every little thing takes you to the next place. You're never really making mistakes.
Mm-mm.
That's not to say you can't be responsible for shit.
Yeah.
But really just you're on a path.
Right.
You
well,
know?
Everything's a lesson, right? Like
it
even
is.
Even the like mistakes, as long as you're open and, you know, mindful for lack of a better, you know, hippie term, but mindful enough to like realize, hey, like this didn't work out for me. Why didn't this work out for me?
Yeah.
What am I responsible for in this scenario? Then yeah, like everything is a lesson.
You're going to laugh at my joint.
Oh no. See, this is why I make the filter first.
I know. I thought that halfway through and then I got so excited about the formation of my joint.
Oh, it's cute though.
I think it might, well, look, it looks like a little accordion.
No, the accordion is good. The accordion is good. It's a good technique. You just took it a little bit far with the accordion. She did the entire crutch as an accordion. I like to make a W, like maybe two or three folds, yeah, and then I wrap it around it so it holds it all together.
God damn it. I mean, let's see if it works.
It's a little stubby.
It's a little stubby. Yeah. Wait, we got to let this thing.
Will it work? That's a great question.
Will it work? Yeah. That's going to be the title of this podcast. Will Jesse May's shitty joint. Listen, I'm going to perfect it one way or another. So when you, the day you found out you were pregnant, had you figured out in your mind or in your life with Travis, had you thought about him being a dad? Had you thought about all that shit? Like, have you, when girls look at a guy and you're like, our baby's a bit so cute. The hell? Oh my God. One of those fucking pigeons just tried to come in the goddamn house.
Your chihuahua scared it away. Oh my God. Going after them.
Oh God, it's gonna be like Alfred Hitchcock, birds up in
flying,
here.
Chihuahuas chasing them.
Wait, before we get,
does not give a fuck.
Like, before we get too deep into the baby stuff, I want to talk about your wanderlust life.
Mm.
When did you start traveling, and were you living on the road indefinitely?
I graduated university in like 2000 and I don't know, early mid 2000s. And I really wanted to start my dad was an entrepreneur and I've always had this like entrepreneurial spirit and wanted to start a little business. I was living in Toronto at the time. And my best friend, who's probably like 8 years older than I am, he'd been traveling for a while. And he was like, yo, leash. My nickname.
Yo, leash.
He's like, before you do this, he's like, you're going to crush this store. Like, don't worry about it. This is a great idea. And he was like, but before you do that, come travel with me for 1 year. And I'm like, no, that's like not my thing. Like I had never really been on like a big trip before, like where you just like don't know when the end date is kind of thing, you know? So I'd never done that before. And he was like, just give me a year of your life. Like the worst that's going to happen is like, we're best friends. We're going to spend a year together and whatever. We'll have some crazy stories to tell. And
or
like,
we set each other on fire after the first week in Singapore airport.
Yeah, exactly. That's something about traveling is you really do need to pick like the right travel mate. Just because they're a friend does not mean like they're the right person to travel with.
It can ruin a friendship, right?
Oh yeah, it can ruin a relationship. Yeah, any, you know, if you travel with your significant other and you have different styles or you're not like, you know, people can drive you crazy.
Yeah,
if you're spending that much time together, yeah, and, like, you know, you're in challenging situations when you travel. You're under a lot of stress sometimes. That's nice. That actually turned out.
Speaking of stress, I just had to chew my joint.
She's like sweating profusely. She's like, oh God. No, it's cute. It's cute. I think it's gonna work.
You want to do a match?
So matches.
Yeah, it's old school.
Whoa. Okay.
You can light the match right in the microphone too, if you want to let the people know. Okay. Let them feel it.
See how this goes.
I don't feel
it. Matchbox says love.
My sister sent that along with this candle that has my name on it.
Oh,
I'm not that, you know, narcissistic. She sent me a
life
candle.
Is better with you, Jessie May.
I mean, stalker.
Sister, what a nice present. That's really
we're
thoughtful.
Very close.
Yeah, I've met your sister. She's super sweet.
She's great.
And yeah, your little nephew. I haven't met your niece yet, but
she is a demon.
Oh,
I have a lighter, but we'll still do.
Her niece is like 2 months old and she's like, she's a demon.
She's demonic. She looks at me like, she looks at me literally. Oh God, that was such a perfect match.
That was a good one.
Literally, you couldn't hear it in the headphones, but it crackled.
Oh wow.
It sounded so, so good.
There's something about real fire, eh?
There is.
I will be dropping the A-bomb. I can't help it. I can't. It's just ingrained in me.
I'm so scared. I hope this joint pulls. Oh, it does. Yay.
It's working.
I'll make sure it's perfected at some point. My niece, Karina, gives me these demonic looks. Like, we were talking, you and I were talking. Where were we when we were talking about Fifi and her being like,
So sassy.
Yeah, sassy in the street.
Mm, probably maybe at lunch the other day.
Yeah. What did she say to you? Like, oh, you were worried about her going out like too far and into this crosswalk.
She just started riding a tricycle, like a training wheel bicycle, and she was biking in front of me. And so it might not be like the best little tricycle. And she was biking in front of me, and I just saw it wobbling from side to side. And I was like, Fifi, don't go so fast, babe. I'm like, just be careful. And she turns around. She's honestly like the sweetest, like loveliest little girl. But she has some of me in her, unfortunately. She turns around, full straight face, and she's like, don't you worry about me. You just worry about yourself.
Okay. I wouldn't even say that to my mom now.
I know. Like, whoa, that's so... And it came out of nowhere, too. It was like, you know, I wasn't, like, shouting at her, saying, like, go slower. I was, like, just genuinely concerned that she might fall and crack her head. And
I was just thinking about this. I love that it's Mother's Day and you're here with me.
I know. Isn't that awesome? That's because Trav's awesome and he was yeah. like, you do whatever. He kind of effed it up really bad last year.
Did he? Well, how I want to know how, because the guys listening need to know how you can fuck up a Mother's Day.
So he tried to propose on Mother's Day.
Oh, God. That's how you fuck up a Mother's Day.
Yeah. And he did it at nighttime too. So like all day long, I'm like thinking, okay, maybe he's going to do something in the afternoon or maybe it's like later in the day. And so he does nothing all day. No card, no flowers, no sleeping, nothing.
I mean, and you had babies at this point.
Yeah, two of them already. Yeah, one of them was a baby last year.
Oh my God.
And so, and I was like, I can be kind of a bitch sometimes. So
all of us can. You don't downplay it. Yeah, you can own that. It's fine. You can own the bitchiness.
Thanks, man.
It's totally fine.
It was not my finest moment, of course. And so he's like, don't worry, babe. I'm taking you out tonight. But by the time nighttime came, I was like already livid. I was like, it's Mother's Day, bitch.
Yeah, it's
like,
not it's Mother's not, Night. No. I'm only like 2 hours
I don't
there.
Want to go on a date. I'm like, I want you to instill some like memories with our children. I'm yeah. like, this is their day to honor me. Not like, I'm not your mom. I don't like, obviously they're small, but like.
Can I get
like,
a pancake?
Yeah, right? Anything.
But that's a beautiful thing about life. You live and you learn.
That's it.
You
and
know?
So, yeah, he took me out that night and to this really, really nice place in LA. Unfortunately, neither of us enjoyed it.
Oh, man.
I was just like, what are we doing here? And he was like, I can't tell you. And I was like, then I want to leave because I'm not happy. I just said it so straight up. I'm like, we need to leave right now.
You said that?
Mm-hmm. And so we did. And then we got outside. We had a huge argument on the like corner of the middle street. And then he was like, well, I was going to propose. And I'm like, such a numpty moment where I was just like, oh, no.
Did he propose there?
No. We both hated each other in that moment.
But you know what? It wasn't meant to happen in that moment.
Nope.
My
hippie, it was a learning experience.
It was a learning experience. Is my joint not working?
I don't know if I'm smoking it right. No, I'm
joking. I feel like it's not working now. I feel like a failure as a podcast host. Oh, there we go.
I got it.
It working. It's working now.
Lighter action.
And so now, I mean, did you want to tell me how he redid it? Or you want to keep that special between the two of you? You don't have to tell me.
Oh man, that's a whole. That's he redeemed himself.
That's another episode.
It's another episode. Maybe for you guys on Hilarious. He's probably a better storyteller for that one.
Maybe we'll have you both on that one. Have you on that one, and then we can tell that story there. We can all get high, and then maybe I can do how I would propose.
Aww.
I wonder, like, what...
Do you have something that would mean a lot to you? Like, is there something, like, sentimental that, like, a guy would be able to tap into, and you'd be like, shit, like, that is really heartfelt?
I've never really thought about that because I've always dated guys that just looking back were horrible.
That you didn't want to marry.
One guy, this is also back to like how you can fuck up a proposal. Don't ask for it as a way to save the relationship.
Like, hey, babe, should we get married?
Like after I'm like, hey, we don't work out. Will you marry me? That's not how life works.
No.
That happened in one of my relationships.
That doesn't make things better.
No. You don't fix the things that are broken by like doing something so extreme.
Yep.
Like going into marriage. It was with my ex, Johnny the Greek, we called him.
Ooh.
Yeah. He was a lot. He was very, very Greek.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And had that whole family.
Yeah. The whole, like, in his mind, he just wanted me in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And, like, I'm in the kitchen. I like snacks.
Yeah.
But I'm not cooking a whole meal. I'm a busy bitch.
Yeah, that's it.
And you know, that should be, like.
It's a different world.
It's a different world. It's a cohesive relationship now. It's not the mother in the kitchen. And if that's your thing, that's cool.
That's cool. But. Yeah, if you get joy out of that, like, sometimes I'm like, I wish I could be that person. Like.
Right. Sometimes,
right? I'm like, that sounds like a nice life. But yeah. Like. Yeah, for me, like, I kind of need something else.
Well, there has to be, like, a, you know, to me, in my mind, I can do a little bit of that, but I can't, if it's expected of me, like, as an adult, I've learned so much about expectations and how much they fuck up your life. Don't you think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, across the board? Mm-hmm. Because you're setting standards for outcomes that you have no control over.
No control, and then, like, it's almost like a kind of closed-mindedness, too. It's like, if things don't happen a certain way, then you, yeah, set yourself up for disappointment or resentment.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you just look at things that you didn't, how you didn't accomplish them. Yeah. But he just expected me to, like, cook dinners.
Every single night.
Like, he's like, oh, I need a traditional woman. I'm like, I'm 24.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Like, I'm bartending and getting free drinks and I'm wasted, like, four nights a week. Right. There's nothing traditional about me. And so, like, I tried because, like, I feel like when you're young and you haven't figured out yourself, at least just for me personally, I tried to be somebody else for so many men because I wasn't loving myself first.
Man, and when you're 24, do you even really, like,
do you even know?
How much of yourself do you know? You know, like, you have to have those experiences. You have to date those, like, Greek dudes and to figure out, like, hey, I'm not that person. Like, that's not who I am. But you have to have experiences to... Yeah.
You do.
Figure it all out.
And, like, I have those moments where I, like, I wish I could just go back to my younger self and be like, oh, you're so much better than this person. But then again, it doesn't, everything leads you to something. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be in the moment with where you're at.
Don't you ever wish that you could, like, take your brain now? Like, you're like,
oh my God.
You're 30 something year old brain and go back to being 24.
Fuck
and
that like, when I was 8. Try to break up with me over the phone now, Kevin Harp. I got broken up with over the phone once.
It's the worst.
By this kid, Kevin Harp.
Was that in high school or elementary?
It was like elementary stool.
Stool?
I'm writing that down right now in my little podcast notes.
Elementary stool. Don't worry, she was potty trained before she was 10.
I was totally potty trained before I was 10. But, no, Kevin Harp called my mom and he said, you're cut.
Wait, he broke up with you through your mom?
Yeah. She goes, hon, Kevin called. He said, you're cut. You want spaghetti for dinner?
That's heartless.
She didn't know what it meant.
Through your mom? Wow.
He left a message.
A voicemail?
No, she answered.
Yeah, right.
And she just thought it was like, she didn't know. She just thought it was like, you know, kid lingo.
Yeah, yeah,
hon,
yeah.
You're cut. Kevin said, you're cut. You want spaghetti? And I just was like, what?
Man, Kevin.
But I wish I had my brain then because I would have called him with something.
Right?
I would have been like, listen, oh, I'm cut? You think you're going to break up with me through my mom? You got to learn how to be a man. Maybe you should wash your feet because your feet stink. I mean, it still sounds kind of childish.
But at least you'd have better ammo.
Yeah. I would have so much better ammo.
Yeah, I love to think about, like, man, if I knew then what I know now.
and now you have a girl.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And now you get, like, me just, like, knowing my mom and seeing my sister with her kids, like, now I understand moms and just being overprotective.
Isn't it awesome?
Oh.
Isn't it? But, like, I was actually saying this to my mom today. Just, like, when I sent her my, like, Mother's Day message to her, I said, man, like, thank you. I understand you so much better now. Like, I understand you as a woman and a person and a mother because I'm now sharing this experience that we had and I didn't get it. Like, it's really difficult to, like, fully comprehend until you have that, anything, until you have that experience yourself.
And because you have something so much bigger to lose.
Yeah.
And, like, that essentially all of survival is avoiding loss.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're trying not to lose your life. You don't want to lose the food because some other thing's going to get it. You don't want to get lost. Yeah. Like, you don't want to lose a person. It's just all this, you're dealing with how to avoid as much loss as possible. You're like a risk factor. Like one of those risk assessors. Like, these are the things that are going to cause risk, and we need to avoid it, especially when you become an adult and a mom.
Yeah, and when you have a kid, it just, like, it shifts your whole way of being. Like, you no longer come first in the world. It's, like, taking care of this other human being who depends completely upon you, and, like...
Yeah, I was laughing.
Like, it's like the biggest gift and like the craziest, most mental responsibility in the world. You're like, oh my God, what did I get myself in? There's no break. It's your life. It's your life. You're like for life. You are attached to these other people.
My favorite thing that we did, we were at the beach. That's right. You were holding Tali, and then you just like handed him over to Travis. And like Travis tried to give him back. You're like, nope, my time. It's my time. You know, and I love that. I love you're just like, no. And he's like, okay. And then like Tali just fucking takes off.
Yeah, he's an insane person. He's crazy. He's a year and a half and he's so much different than my little girl is. Like,
if energy came back as a baby, like just pure energy.
And it's not like he's like ADD or ADHD. No. Like it's not like he's a bright light. He just is so inquisitive and wants to explore and like fearless, but like he's just like an independent. I don't know. He's an amazing kid. I hold him and I'm like, I feel his vibe, like what we were talking about vibes. I'm like, I feel like you're gonna be this incredible person.
Yeah,
like, really good, amazing person.
Both of them are. And this even can be complete.
Fifi, yeah,
for her being like, worry about yourself, mom.
I know. But yeah,
she hasn't even menstruated yet. Oh God, you poor thing. Oh, man.
Yeah, puberty's going to be brutal.
Puberty's going to be...
So I'm already feeling sorry for my future self.
What do you do, like, the whole thing, like, even though we're on sharp tongue, obviously, marijuana is a huge part of your life, and it has been a huge part of your life. Like, where does it coincide with being a parent? Where do you draw the lines? Like, how have you used it to help you be a good parent? And is that something that you've done?
Whoa, such a... Good questions. yeah, for sure. So cannabis is definitely a huge part of our lives. It's our source of income and it's like our livelihood. And it's been, you know, our life for the entire time we've been together traveling.
Yeah.
I have had multiple cannabis businesses and still do. And as a parent, I think it's just like it's an amazing plant medicine, you know. Like,
yeah.
It makes me definitely a more patient person, like in those moments of like – insanity.
Yep.
Amongst all the crazy chaos, like to just take a moment to yourself. And you know, there's all these new things that we're finding out about the plant with legalization and research, and just even using the non-psychoactive components of it, CBD, and just using it as an anti-anxiety medicine.
Yeah.
I know like a lot of my mom friends right now are asking me like, yo, like what is up, what how can I use this, because people are turning away from pharmaceuticals. They're realizing the long-term effects and they're realizing that, yeah, it's just not necessarily the healthiest way to be.
No, because you're taking all that stuff and then you're breastfeeding. And that goes and right there's, into your baby.
Yeah. There's no long-term studies on any of that. Like the medicines that they are prescribing currently, there's no long-term studies on how that affects kids or people, and
that's insane.
Super 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 scary.
How do you feel about vaccinations? I know how you feel.
Don't ask me that question. That is not what friends do to each other.
I'll answer, we both feel the same way.
Yeah, I would just say, yeah, I did a lot of research before I made any decision.
Yeah, but you should do as a parent. You should never just accept what you're told.
No. And
not when things are changing and evolving. I mean, you know, even just when it comes to diet, how those trends evolve on a monthly basis.
Totally.
We were just talking before we started recording. You were saying how you eat sauerkraut in the morning now, mm-hmm. because you learned that it's good for your gut health. Carlin, are you on the fucking counter? Excuse me, as my dog is literally, who just ate two bones today. I'm a dog mom. He's up on the counter looking for a stick of butter. That's what he eats.
He's looking for more bones, dude. I get here, she's like, don't worry, I'll just give him this and then he won't bother us, but I'm screwed later on.
He's going to shart so hard. Oh, I see what the problem is.
Oh,
Chaplin got it.
Oh, the little one stole his bone.
Here, you can tell
that
them.
Is.
Tell them one of your favorite ways to... enjoy cannabis while I go set Carlin up with a bowl.
It's so funny because this tiniest little chihuahua just took this massive pit bull's bone, and the pit bull totally took it. He's like, whatever. You get it. It's all you.
Leave him alone, Chaplin. Aww, go lay down, Carlin. You guys, see, this is, I get it. Like, even though dogs are not nearly as annoying as it could be to be a mom of two, but at least you can communicate with kids a little bit. Carlin's just like, I want butter. I want peanut butter. Is there something for me to eat? Chaplin, you're such a bastard.
I love that he's like, got the chutzpah to challenge
Chaplin's him. Got energy like Tolly.
Really? Like, I give no Fs. He's
no like, fucks given yeah, whatsoever.
I don't care if that dog could eat me. I'm taking its...
No. You know what's funny is my sister... My family has never been much of a cannabis family. Mm-hmm. More drinkers for sure. I mean, we'll put away a box of wine like it's nobody's fucking business.
Yeah. That's the norm though, right?
Yeah. Upstate New York?
Yeah.
Like it's cold.
People drink. Yeah.
You know.
We're from Canada.
Canada, yeah, you guys know?
Yeah. People drink a lot of beer.
People drink beer. A lot of hockey. You just sit at home and watch TV and drink beer.
That's it. Yeah.
And so, you know.
No one questions that either. That's like status quo. Like, if you see like an empty case of beer in someone's house, they're not like, oh my God,
you
drank a case of beer.
You're like, you got any left?
Right. Yeah. Is there any in the fridge? Yeah.
And so now, you know, moving out here, like it's just a natural progression. You know, I smoked in New York, but it's just become more a part of my life. And because of that, it's become more a part of my family's life.
Yeah.
Like my mom's more involved with it. And my sister's like, I think I might've texted you or you or Travis or both of you during the holidays where I was like, everyone in the house is high right now. Yeah. You.
Did you dose them?
No, I had a joint and
everyone got in on it.
Everyone in, like, I went out and did it. Like, I'm not peer pressuring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm just like, I'm going to go outside and just, you know, have a little stuff, a little something in the snow.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's magical. Like, getting high when it's snowing is so fucking
or when
amazing.
Just when it's cold outside, because I don't know, there's something about it and you just huddle up and then when you go back inside to the warmth too, don't you, and you feel even higher.
Yeah. And then you're like,
does that ever happen to you?
Yes.
You go inside the warm and you're like, oh my God, I'm actually super high right
now.
Yeah.
And you're like, yo, was there a hot I wasn't a second ago. Or something? I always want snacks. But like, I went out and I remember, like, I went out and I came back, obviously smelling like it. And it's so much more apparent to them because they're not used to it in their system.
Totally.
And so, like, my brother-in-law's kid was like, you smoking? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, where is it? Don't tell my dad. I was like, all right.
How old is he?
22.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was like, go ahead, go out there. So he goes out and smokes and he comes back. But then Steve was like, his dad was like, you got any of the stuff?
Oh my God. The stuff.
His son before just told me not to tell his dad. And his dad's going out. I was like, yeah. And then my sister goes.
That's amazing.
And then my other sister
and
her boyfriend.
Oh my God, you guys went in rotation.
Yo, I had to like roll two
of
my shitty joints.
So that took 3 hours.
It took 4.5 hours. They're probably still figuring out how to light it. But, you know, my sister has been like, you know, a couple of times, like, that really saved me. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm. It's great.
The stuff that, especially like talking about like the CBD perspective, because there was a strain we had that wasn't like super
high.
Yeah. It was more, I think it might have been, I don't think it was CBD dominant. It just was like not as aggressive of a high.
It was like a super heavy THC.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It just was like a chill. And Emily was just like, whatever that was, I need more of it.
That's what's up. Yeah, I hear from like a lot of not just moms, but like women that they don't like necessarily feeling high. They don't like a heavy THC strain. And that's totally fine because it doesn't work with some people's constitution. Just like different foods don't work with our bodies.
And that's
like,
fine.
Everyone's endocannabinoid system is unique and different. And it's super important that you find out what's good for you and what works for you and for whatever situation. You know, at nighttime, I'm sure, you know, you use a different weed or a different maybe concentrate than you would if you're like first thing in the morning if you want to sit down and write.
And like for me, like throughout the day, like today I'll just have a puff every hour or so and it just keeps this like, it's almost like, because I've always had like a slight ADD situation, but when I do that I get super creative and calm that I'm not worried about other things.
Yeah.
And I just sort of like flow into each thing.
Yeah, you can really focus on what you're doing at that moment.
Yeah, it's wild when you find that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's essentially microdosing if you're just like taking a little bit throughout the day, which is, also.
That's pretty much what I do. And microdosing is probably something like for women who don't like an extreme high. That's a good option for them.
Yeah, they have like cannabis mints now that I know a lot of people really like.
And how would you describe that to a woman who comes up to you, who like your friends who are like texting you and they're like, oh my God, I need to know what's up with the cannabis. How would you describe to people who are listening who might be interested in what microdosing really means.
Okay, cool.
And how to go about it.
Mm.
As Carlin
sweet,
is
sweet little smooches on my hands.
Right in your armpit.
It's all right. It's where I like guys all about my hands. That's real love. So microdosing is essentially finding the threshold between having some kind of effect and not quite feeling. So you're basically looking for that nice little balance between like not quite feeling high, but not also not feeling nothing. And so you're taking just the right amount, and it does take some experimentation in terms of finding what that threshold is for
right.
you. I love the saying, like, start low, go slow.
Yes.
So start with a small amount and go slowly. See how it affects you one time. Take the same amount maybe in the next day. See if it affects you differently, because depending on a lot of things, it can affect you differently depending
yep.
on what you've had to eat that day, or if you've had enough sleep, or, you know.
Like how you feel.
Exactly. What your state of mind is. So all these things can really affect the effect of the cannabis itself on
yeah.
your body. So start low. Start with a little bit and go slow, and then you can get a little bit more and more every few days and see how that affects you
yeah.
and if that's the desired effect you really want.
I think microdosing is pretty damn good for
it's
like
amazing.
Workday
it's
shit.
Amazing.
And being a mom, a busy-ass mom.
Yeah.
What's your favorite way? I asked before. What's your favorite way? Do you like joints?
I love, you know what, as a mom, like if I'm momming during
yep.
the day, like
yep.
getting
when
into
you're momming.
It, yeah, like in the heat of it, like a joint.
you're momming.
Momming hard all day, every day.
I'm momming so hard.
But yeah, like a joint is not practical. Like it's
yeah.
smelly, and it takes, I love rolling a joint. I love the process of like breaking up the weed and like, I love it. It's like a ritual, and it's just like so calming. It's part of the entire experience. And I love doing that. I'll do that at night for all my friends. I don't care. I'm your girl. But during the day, that's not practical. So I really like vaping. Like I have
vaping.
Yeah, I love a good vape pen, like a nice clean one.
Do you have a favorite that you're working with besides obviously
your
own?
So
Heisenberg greatness.
Yeah, Heisenberg extracts.
HZB.
Really, it's really, really, really tasty.
LA's top oil and isolate producers. Mm. Hello.
I really like. You know, I tried the old Humboldt brand, the Dosis. They changed their name to Dosis. They're pretty
yeah.
good.
I like those.
I like that they have their own formulas depending on, you know, what effect you're trying to get.
I have a couple of those in my car, and I was driving yesterday, and I looked over, and there was this dude holding one just smoking.
No
it.
Way, the same one.
Yeah, and I was like waving, and he looked at me, and I held up mine. It felt like an old cigarette car.
No, they're cute. They're cute, though. They kind of look like a mix between like a cigarette and a tampon.
It's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're cute.
And it's like they come with, they're pre-dosed,
mm-hmm.
and they buzz when you get a full dose.
It has many different uses.
It's kind of, but those are good. That's a good thing for a mom to use.
Right?
A vape.
Yeah. No, vapes are great, and they're discreet. They don't really have, you know, a lot of odor, scent.
Yeah.
If they do, it's, yeah, not usually a very strong cannabis scent. Yeah.
Edibles?
No.
Fuck edibles.
I don't. I mean, I do. I would and do things, but I don't mess with cannabis edibles.
Why don't you like them?
It's intense. It's intense.
It's intense.
For me, yeah.
For me too.
I'm like 5'1". I have a small constitution, and it just does not do well with my bod.
It does not do well with mine. Like literally like 3 milligrams is where I'm just like fine.
Mm-hmm.
Anything above that, I'm like, Jesus is here. So is Satan.
Yeah.
And they said, I got to choose if I'm going to live or die. That's it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I know they work for a lot of people, like a lot of people who have chronic pain or.
Yeah, they are really good for that.
They're really good for that. People with
high thresholds
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of cannabis tolerance.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a totally different high as well. It's like a different THC compound. So it's a total different effect. And if that's what you're looking for, then that's great. And it's amazing that there is that modality for people to use.
Yeah.
But for me, Alicia, no thank you.
No thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm
no.
Out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about non-cannabis products that you enjoy to put into your body?
Oh man. I mean,
shrooms?
Yeah, I do.
I've never done anything.
I know.
I've never done anything.
Yeah.
I'm waiting and the time will come.
Yeah. There'll be like a epic camping trip or something planned.
Yeah.
I think, you know, with those kinds of things, like with like psychedelics, I think there's a time and a place. And that place also includes like your state of mind. Like
you
have to be like in a really good state of mind to like enter, because you are entering like another trip,
right?
Yeah. It's a journey you're about to go on.
And you used to help people.
Yeah. You remember this?
Yes. I think it's one of the most fascinating things about you. I think it's so unique.
Yeah. I have, well, like in my 20s when I was traveling a lot, I was managing a backpackers hostel in Melbourne, Australia. And I kind of like lived, worked there. I had my own like little cabin in the back, and it was,
that must've been fucking amazing.
It was really amazing. It was honestly like, I remember thinking to myself when I had this job, I was like, these are probably the best years of my life.
Yeah.
Like, and like just having that moment, I'm like, oh, it was just great. And like people who stayed there all were kind of like long-term residents. And so,
so it was like a family
it was
thing.
It was like a, yeah, like a family of travelers, and it was just great. And Australia is just incredible. If like you ever get a chance to go there.
I have not gone yet. What?
Have you?
I have not gone yet. Hey, me talk pretty one day. It's Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder. How long were you there?
I lived in Australia on and off for like 4 years.
And
so
then
I would get a visa and work, and then I would go travel to like Southeast Asia for a few months.
That's
and
so then, amazing that you did that. It's probably like one of the best things you could have done as a person, just to travel and see all those different cultures.
Just putting yourself out there, like when you're on the road and you're just like, don't really have a destination, just know you want to like go and experience things and connect with people. When you put yourself out there like that, you really, I had the most incredible experiences and met some of the most like beautiful, wonderful people I've ever met in my entire life. The really good ones that I'm like still really close with.
Yeah.
One of them's like, you know, Fifi's godmother.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like some of my closest, dearest, most wonderful friends.
What did you do that I'm so fascinated about?
Oh, right. So when I was living in Melbs, I was managing this backpackers place, and a lot of my friends, girlfriends, were interested in trying psychedelics and had never done it, and were really like intimidated by it. You know, like they were just like, I'm really scared. Like, you know, either the sense of losing control or just,
that's what terrifies me.
Yeah, the fear of the unknown, like what's going to happen.
Carlin's tail, son of a bitch. Carlin, we're listening about psychedelics. Go lay down. Go.
It's like going to create our own experience. Yeah. But yeah, so a lot of them were really, really scared and nervous, and that's what was preventing them from doing it, even though they did genuinely want to try. Like, I wasn't there pressuring anyone. I was just like, if you want to do this, I'm here. I have experience doing this. And so basically
it started out of necessity.
What do you mean?
Like how helping these people.
Yeah. Well, it was just like my close friends that are like, you know, saying like, hey, I'm interested in trying this. And for anyone that's tried psychedelics, like you want your close friends to share that experience with you, you know?
You don't want to be alone.
But it's just such an heart opening, like enlightening, like incredible thing to have in your life. And really changes your perspective on life and the world, and you want your friends to have that,
and to feel like
safe,
protected and safe.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like you've said that's a huge factor.
Definitely. And so so I would take my girlfriends and I'd plan like an afternoon and evening. I kind of like I call it Alicia's psychedelic tour of Melbourne.
I mean, can I buy a ticket on TripAdvisor? Right. Holy fuck.
Leave me a good Yelp review, please. But yes, so, and it would happen like maybe once a month or something, and a different friend would go like, hey, okay, I'm ready to do this. And we'd like start off at the beach and we'd have some jams, and then I'd be like, are you hungry? Do you want to go get something to eat? And we'd like take it, we walked everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So like, you get to like really, and Melbourne's an insanely beautiful city.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, incredible street art. And people are amazing. And
did you ever have anybody have a bad trip, or did you yourself ever have a bad trip?
I've never had a bad trip.
Have you ever seen somebody have a bad trip?
I've seen.
Somebody. What does that look like from the perspective of somebody who's not tripping?
Oh, like they're a crazy person?
Does it look like they're losing their mind?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like waka flocka? Does it?
Yeah. No, seriously, like you're like, oh my goodness, like I'm a little bit scared for this person's like mental health. It can be that way for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like, that's why I was emphasizing before, like it's so much about where you're at in that moment. Like if you're in a good frame of mind, like, it enhances wherever you're at. So if you're like in a kind of negative vibe and you're like feeling down on yourself, and
it's just going to bring that right the hell out.
Yeah.
And exactly. Like, are these people like, are they like, what kind of things have you heard people say? I always have seen people, and I'm always wondering, like, are they having a psychedelic? Are they having, like, a bad trip right now? Right. Like, I think about myself when I've taken edibles before, and I'm like, what did I look like? Right. Well, did I look like?
What facial expressions did I have on?
Did I look like Mickey Rourke? Was I like Gary Busey after a 10-pack?
Man, I've heard people say, like, oh, like, the, like, literally, like, the devil's coming, we're all gonna die, we're all gonna, like, burn, and, like, all these things, and you try to, like, I would
so you were at a Baptist church, right?
You will burn in a lake of fire. yeah,
no one's, so at a Trump rally,
ever said that to me before.
But just kidding, guys. This isn't a political podcast. Fucking calm down.
Yeah. but yeah, no, it can get really scary, and it's scary for them. I mean, they're fully in it. And
how do you help them at that point? Is it too deep?
I mean, you try to be a grounding force. I think you try to just be, like, really calm, really mellow, create like a chill environment. If there's, like, a lot of people in their space, try to, like, you know, just give them, like, respect, right, for whatever they're going through. They're gonna come out of it, you know.
Have you seen people cry?
Oh yeah, yeah. It brings up, like, all the good shit, all the shit. That's why it's so awesome. It's like this, like, beautiful rainbow of, like,
emotions
and visions, and all your senses are enhanced, and yeah. It's really nice.
It sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
I know I'll do it at some point.
When you're ready.
When I'm ready.
You'll feel it.
And I'm almost there.
Yeah.
I can almost feel myself there.
Cool.
I still have some shit to shed before, because I'm afraid. Just, there's going to be Sasquatch everywhere. Yeah. I got to get rid of my fear of Sasquatch first.
Don't do it in Northern California. Do not go to the Redwoods.
Yo, are there Sasquatches? Yo, you've been up there.
Yeah. That's where the myth is from. It's from, like, Northern California, Humboldt County.
Have you taken any, like, foot
tours?
Have you taken any foot trackings? Like, have you seen any hair on a branch or some shit?
Yeah, but taking any clay?
Travis's back hair.
He's, like, out in the field. no, they have Bigfoot tours up there where they'll, like,
and, like, what report, do you see?
Reportedly he was spotted just right here over. Yeah,
it's like a TMZ of rich people's houses. You only see gates. You're like, here's a tree where he itched his back.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's but Jack Nicholson's front door.
At least you're walking through the Redwood Forest. And
yeah, that's,
like,
kind of
really
amazing.
Worst things that you could be doing in life.
Speaking of a good place to, like, trip out, Redwood Forest sounds pretty
saying.
Amazing.
If you're scared of Sasquatch, though, do not do that. It's very, like, a very dark forest. Those are big ass trees, you know. There's not a lot of light.
Have you ever, like, I'm going right into what my favorite things to talk about. Have you ever, like, seen, like, aliens?
No, but I'm fascinated by them.
Right?
Yeah. I have a really cool uncle. He's a doctor, but he's also, like, a conspiracy theorist. So he's, like, really, really smart and switched on, but he also, like, believes some, like, insane shit. And
I feel like that's a balance to a really intelligent brain.
Yeah.
To believe crazy shit.
Yeah. And he's able to, like, he's one of those people. I'm pretty sure he's got, like, a photographic memory. He can, like, rehearse, like, facts, like the paragraph it's, like, quoted from and everything. And I'm like, so when he tells you something, like, when he tells you these conspiracy theories, because they're, like, so well researched and he can, like, refer to, like, all this shit.
You start boarding up your windows.
Really, no, you really believe. I mean, it's really hard. I'm like, wow, Uncle Bruce. Damn.
Uncle Bruce. Uncle Bruce.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend is a dog named Bruce. Isn't that a great dog name?
It is amazing.
Tammy Bronson's dog is named Bruce. Aww. She owns a comedy club. Shout out to Tammy. They own a bunch of clubs. They've given me a lot of work throughout the year. So shout out House of Comedy.
Dope.
Rick Bronson's comic strip. They're great. Canadians.
Are they?
Yes.
Awesome.
I actually told them about you because when I was staying at their house, we were talking about Canadians that we know. Because Sarah, my neighbor here, you might have met Sarah. She's Canadian.
Uh-huh.
You're Canadian.
Wow.
They're Canadian.
You're collecting us.
I am. I'm collecting all of you, and all of your heads are going to be on a mantle.
At least they'll all be cute. I love when people tell you how many Canadians they know. Do you know Seth Rogen is also Canadian?
He is.
I saw him the other day in Beverly Hills. I almost.
Shut up.
Yeah.
You should have said hello.
Well, I was, so here's what I live in Beverly Hills. Don't judge me.
Humble brag.
Yeah. but so we go where we go get coffee and stuff. We see people sometimes. And that was one moment that I'm not that person that can go say hi. I can't.
No, chill.
Yeah. And I respect, like, them as human beings and everything like that. And I wouldn't want that happening to me. But that doesn't mean I won't use my daughter to go say hi. So
did you do that?
I was in the he was very quick, surprisingly. But we were in a cafe getting coffee, and I saw him out, like, about to get in his car, and I was like, Fifi, come with me quick. And I'm like, you just let him know that he's your favorite actor and you love all his movies.
Would she do it?
Yeah, she's done
That's
it
before. That's such a great way to use your child.
No.
What are other ways you can use your child?
Oh my God.
What have you done?
I mean, you really must, you have to make the most out of the situation sometimes.
Did you get out a ticket ever?
No, but like at the airport.
Oh yeah.
When I would travel alone with both of them sometimes, and like, I'm like, come on, like, can I just get maybe to a different, the shorter line at least? And so many times they're like, oh, ma'am, of course. And
I would too if you have two kids.
Well, it's for everyone's well-being as well. It's not just me. Like, you don't want to hear my kids screaming like an hour waiting through customs. Like,
I mean, holy hell.
Like, let's just help everyone out.
Set it on fire. Right. No, I'm just kidding. Only my niece, Karina, who is demonic, right, yeah. 100%. My mom said when she... Emily was young, my older sister, she went in to check on her once, and Emily was just sitting straight up in the bed staring at her when she opened the door. Oh, she was like three. My mom was just like, and just like slammed the door shut.
Oh my God.
Have you had any like freaky moments?
It's really scary. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes like at nighttime when you don't know your kid woke up, and like my 4-year-old will get out of bed and scare the living shit out of me, especially because I'm usually stoned that late. Like, you know, watching Netflix or something, eating some popcorn, and all of a sudden the door creaks open and there's like a small person standing there.
And you're like, I forgot I had kids.
It's really freaky. It's really, every time it scares the shit out of me.
But she's so cute.
She's really
cute. So smart using her to say hello to famous people.
I know. That's
really
I haven't done it a lot of times.
I know.
I feel like that's like a secret LA mom hack. Use your kids.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It really is. Have you had any challenges being a being in the cannabis community and being a mom? Here's a question. Have you had any judgment from other moms?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Like at the playgrounds?
Yeah, for sure.
What's the bitchiest thing anyone's ever said to you?
It's not what they say. It's just like the looks, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're kind of like looking down on you or like totally just judging you really hard. But, you know.
Are you vaping at these times?
Either I have like with some other mom friends of mine, or and they're like, ugh, or like they give you that kind of vibe kind of thing, like being your irresponsible parent. I guess that's what their assumption is.
Yeah. Okay, bitch. How was the box wine at 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
How were the Percocets? How were the Quaaludes? How were all the Xanax that you took a handful of?
I know.
I mean, usually the people who throw judgment are the most hypocritical fucks that there are.
But it used to really like bum me out. I'm used to like kind of get upset about
you're sensitive.
Like, you know, you're a person, you don't want to be judged, and especially being a parent, like,
of course you want to like be accepted,
your heart outside your body, like being I used to really get bummed out about it, but now I feel as though it's more an opportunity to educate people and like say like, listen, I understand where your judgment comes from, but just to let you know, like, there are so many health benefits to this. And what I'm vaping isn't necessarily THC. I'm not necessarily even getting high right now.
Yeah, like, so you're judging something you don't even understand.
Yeah. And so I just see it. I want to see it as this way to like educate people and enlighten them and open them up to plant medicine that they might not otherwise have been exposed to or open to.
And getting them off all those pharmaceuticals that are like so abrasive to the system.
Yeah.
And that brings me into one of the reasons why we're podcasting. Is that you're going to start a podcast.
Yeah, man.
We have decided not to say what it is because she's got to solidify some information.
I'm like learning still. This whole podcast right now is kind of learning experience.
You're going to be great at it.
Yeah,
you've got
so?
A great voice. You've
Thanks.
Traveled. You have children. Your perspective is so unique and you're such an amazing energy.
Mm.
Like your energy is just like the greatest. It's going to be great.
Thanks, man.
What are you going to talk about? Like, I know you just said what, you know, educating and all that, but like, is it going to be specifically for moms?
It's going to be specifically for... like more geared towards women, moms, and my hope is to have just like the cream of the crop of like women in cannabis, both like entrepreneurs and scientists, and just people really putting themselves out there in the industry, and just have it like mostly like woman, female, mama centric, and
Breaking some stigmas and helping them.
Breaking some stigmas and opening up like just a platform for them to talk about what's going on with them and how cannabis has helped them. And I it's my passion. I love talking about it. I love like enlightening people to it because I've seen it change lives, you know?
Yeah. And seriously, comparative to what's out there and what people are already using or what the healthcare system provides.
Yeah.
It's,
and there's no one else doing it. There's no, like, you unfortunately can't go to a doctor right now and ask them about different kinds of cannabis or different modalities of, you know, consuming. Like, they don't have the education yet. Hopefully one day they will. And
hopefully it will be instilled. You can go down to Venice Boardwalk and get the Kush doctor who comes out in like a Bob Marley hat with fake dreads.
I know.
And he'll hand you a bucket of sativa. Good luck. There you go. And then you're panicking on the beach for 3 hours thinking that you're talking to the devil. Right. Because you got some shitty Venice weed.
That's it, man. So, yeah. So, hopefully that the education catches up.
Did you, before we go, did you see that TMZ found me? And I was talking about weed.
No.
They followed me after the Hollywood Improv last week. And he was asking me about, he's like, I heard you have an organic weed shop. Mm-hmm. Why does it have to be organic?
No way.
Yeah.
That was the question.
That was a question. He was like, why organic weed? And I was like, you know, you don't want to crap yourself. Mm. You know, I was trying to make like this analogy about like things not being clean, making you crap yourself, like fruits and vegetables that aren't washed or fruits and vegetables that have like pesticides and all that can really mess up your system on a long-term basis. But I was like, do you want to shit yourself? He was like, no. I was like, me neither. I smoke organic weed so I don't shit myself. And then...
You didn't have this whole conversation, obviously, with the TMZ guy, right? You literally just said, do you want to shit yourself?
I did. I'll play it on this episode at the end of this episode. But it was just funny because, like, people don't even consider the quality of, you know, it's that sort of thing, like, just because it's healthy or, you know, it's like the organic argument. Like, just because it's an apple doesn't necessarily mean it's the best apple. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, an apple, regardless, is good for you to eat. But if you want to take it a step further, you should technically kind of go organic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yay or nay?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, like you said, those things compound in your system over time. Pesticides and whatever. You know, an apple travels a really long distance to get into your house. And
oh, man.
Right? Think about it, dude.
It goes so far.
Yeah.
And so many dirty trucks.
How many hands touch it. And like, right? So yeah, you want to wash your food. You want to make sure what you're putting in your body is pure and good quality. Especially when it's considered medicine. If people are using it in a medicinal manner, like, you want to make sure that that's hopefully lab tested. And yeah, not just someone's word that it's organic. Because
apple came so far.
So far.
Oh my God, I never thought about that.
I had friends that were picking apples for a while, and they told me that an apple is actually almost like a year, because of the wax that they put on it. You know, they put like, that's why they're so shiny.
Yeah.
Apples can sometimes be up to a year old before it goes to the
group.
But I don't know if that's really true.
Were they high when they told you this?
They're apple pickers, maybe. They're long, long, laborious days.
Well, it's been so fun to chat with you and have you on here. And
thanks, man.
I'm excited about your podcast. And when you put it up, I'm going to tell everybody to listen to it because I have a lot of moms.
Will you be on my podcast?
Hell yeah.
That would be amazing.
I'm a dog mom.
Yeah.
And I'm a woman.
It's not just moms, but yeah.
That's true.
Woman in cannabis and funny as hell and doing big things.
I would appreciate that. Thanks. And then maybe we should do it after you help me have my first trip.
Oh my God. That would be cool. Those will definitely be some good stories.
Cut to you and me. We're running through Yellowstone.
The Redwoods.
The Redwoods, and I have no pants on, and I'm screaming about the devil.
It would be amazing.
I'm crying. I'm like, Bigfoot is here, and the devil is real. And you're just running after me.
It's a campfire, and Travis, don't worry, you're fine. Go back to the tent.
And just go back and hotbox a tent all night. Oh my God, you're amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on.
All right.
Let's smoke the rest of this joint.
Awesome.